Praise the Lord, everyone. Oh, come on now. We can do better than that. Praise the Lord, everyone. Amen. Thank Ricky for leading us out in those beautiful hymns. I don't know about you, but reminds us again of the hope that we have in Jesus Christ, who one day will come back for his people. And I know that you are preparing for that time when he that shall come will come, and he will not tarry. I'm so glad today that once again we have a reminder that God is love and that we can come and worship together in spirit and in truth. And I thank God for each one of you today and those who are watching online. We pray God will bless you mightily with an understanding and the receiving of his word, because we know that there's power in the word of God. And we're reminded again over and over again that as we open up the word of God, the spirit of God comes near because he wants to impress us with holiness. The Bible says, without holiness, no man shall see God. But one day he that shall come will come, and he will not tarry. But you know what I rejoice in? I rejoice in the reality that God is doing everything he can to prepare a people to meet him in peace. He's preparing a people to meet him so that when he comes back, we'll be able to say, lo, this is our God, and we've waited for him. And no matter what you're going through today, no matter how difficult it may appear, I want you to know that you are on the winning side and God has not forgotten about you. And no matter what it is, I want to remind you today, you know, sometimes you want tangible reminders that, does God really love me? And if he loved me, why am I going through what I'm going through? And why am I dealing with what I'm dealing with? But I want you to know, he said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. I promise I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. And so today I want to just remind you for a little while something that God put on my heart. And that is, God says to us, please, please don't forget me. You know, that's what the yearning heart of God is. Please don't forget me. Don't forget me. Make sure, the Bible says, you trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not unto your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge God, trust God, put God first, and I promise you, you'll be all right. And I remind you that it's not about how bad you are, but it's because of how good he is that we can come and rejoice and realize that we serve a God who wants to save us, a God who wants to bless us, a God who wants to take us higher, a God who wants to make us the head and not the tail. I'm so glad we serve an awesome God today, and as we worship together, we pray that we would go into the word of God with insight, wisdom, and understanding so that we can be God's people in these last and evil days. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we have assembled here, those who are watching online and those who are in the physical presence of this worship auditorium, because we love you. Lord, we have not gathered here just out of form and fashion. We do not come here out of just tradition. But we come here because we realize you have placed a calling on our lives. And because you love us and because you care for us, God, we want to just respond by being obedient. We thank you again for your word, and we ask that you would bless us. We ask that you would open our minds and understand that you are always on our side and that we have nothing to fear unless we forget how you have led us thus far. And if we could only see the end from the beginning, God, we would realize that the way you led us was the best way. And sometimes, yes, we veer. Sometimes we make decisions to go our own way. But I'm so glad that we serve a God that says if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just. And so we confess how unworthy we are, how undone we are. And we fall into the arms of Jesus today. So bless us, God, we pray, as we open your word. And as we look into the book, we pray that you'll give us the encouragement that we need, that we might be your people. We pray your blessings upon us now in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. If you have your Bibles or your device, whatever it is you have, there's a familiar text we have for our scripture reading that many of you are familiar with. But the Bible says in Exodus chapter 20, and many times we read this, and we call it the affirmation of our faith, but it's really not the affirmation of our faith, because the affirmation of our faith ought to be John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. However, Exodus chapter 20 reminds us of something that's very powerful as well, that reminds us something over and over again. Now, if you ever forget anything about something, God never wants you to forget about him. And there's a reason why. And I want to share with you that a reason just for a minute why God says, please don't forget me. I mean, there's some things you'll meet and go through in life that you want to forget, and you want to erase it out of your mind. There's some things that you wish you had never gone through. There are some things you wish that had never happened, and you wish you could just place it out of your experience. But today, I want to remind you that the Bible says here in Exodus chapter 20, a very familiar text of Scripture found right in the Decalogue, right in the heart of the Ten Commandments, where it says, remember. And it simply says, remember the seventh day or the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all your work. I'm reading from the New King James Version, which is not much different from the King James, but it says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. Now notice what he says, in it you shall not do any work. You nor your son nor your daughter nor your male servant nor your female servant, nor your cattle, King James says maid, female maid or male. But the Bible says female servant here in the King James, male servant, nor your cattle, nor your stranger who is within your gates. For then 6 days, now the Bible reminds us what he did on these days. 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth and the sea and all that is in them and rested on the seventh day. Therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Now, I just want to say, if you don't have anything to remind you about God's love, God intentionally placed something in time so that you will not ever become weary in well-doing to forget that God loves you. And what he does is he says, I want to place a perpetual reminder in place so that you will never, ever forget who I am. There's some things in life, again, some people you might want to forget. There's some situations you may want to forget. There's some circumstances you may want to forget. There's some people that you may want to forget. But I'm telling you today, when we look into the word of God, he says, remember the Sabbath day. And now you say, I understand that. I realize he said that. But don't you know, every time 6 days go by and the seventh day comes, God is saying, don't forget me for a reason. And God wants us to remember who he is. And I don't care how bad you are. I don't care if you're raised up in the church or leave the church. Once you have a knowledge about the Sabbath, every time it comes around, it reminds you about something or someone. And it tells you that there is a God that's bigger than anything and everything that's out there that made heaven and earth in 6 days. And he paused on the seventh day. Now, I ask myself this question, if he paused on the seventh day and the Bible says he rested on that day, I just start thinking to myself, Ricky, could it be that maybe God dropped this time into a slot that was already existing? Now, I don't know how the other planets operate on their time scale, but I do know this. When we get to heaven, we will still be honoring God on the seventh day. That's what it says. So therefore, if God did not create the Sabbath, and therefore he made everything in 6 days, on the first day he made something, on the second day he made something, on the third day he made something, and then on the sixth day he made man, the crowning act of creation, but it says on the seventh day he paused. He did not create the seventh day. It was there. How was it there? He did not create it. Think about it. He did not create it. He just paused. He ran into it. It was there. And on that day, all he did was he stopped on that day. He blessed that day. He rested on that day. He sanctified that day. He said, this day is a day that I'm setting aside. Why? Because I don't want you to ever forget who I am. I want you to always remember that I am God and you are not. I want you to remember that I'm the creator of the universe. I am sustainer and provider. And I want you to remember on a constant that I am God. And so he says, remember the Sabbath day or remember the seventh day. Now, it's not 8 days on the calendar. It's not 9 days. It's amazing that there's actually 7 days. And you say, preacher, that's elementary. Everybody know that. Well, I want to remind you that there is a specific reason why the seventh day is so important when it comes to honoring God. Now, I can't just pick any day. Now, I understand that there are other days we worship on. I understand we ought to be holy every day. I understand that we ought to live righteous every day. But the seventh day has some significance to it because God says, remember, out of all the Ten Commandments, out of all of them, beginning with the first one, where he says, you shall have no other gods before me. He didn't put remember. He didn't put before you shall not make yourself carved images. Remember. He did not put between the seventh, the third commandment, you shall not take the name of the Lord thy God. Remember. Why is that the case? When he said, honor your father and your mother, he did not say remember. When he said you shall not murder or you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal. He did not say remember. There was a reason why the creator of the universe specified with specificity and said, I'm putting my hand on this day as a day that you ought to set aside and stop doing whatever you're doing to acknowledge me as your God. Now you say, well, I understand that, but why is that important? I'm glad you asked that question. And this is what the pen of inspiration says. It says, if man, now this is why this is so important and this is so vital when it comes to understanding the significance of the power of the day that God said is a day we ought to remember. Now, just like it says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. I want to start by saying this, and you may have heard me say it before, but if I have this handkerchief here and I gave it to you and I said, please, won't you keep this white? Before I give it to you, it has to be white. Amen. If I said keep it clean, it has to be clean before I give it to you. I cannot give you something and expect you to do something with it unless I do something with it before you get it. Oh, you got it now. In other words, God the Creator, before he ever gave us this day, he did something to this day that only God can do. In other words, only God can bless something. Only God can curse something. Only God can make create something. God is the Creator. And so he says, now I'm making heaven and earth in 6 days, and I want to do this because I want to remind you of my creative power and my ability to create. Why is that important? Because the same God in creation that created heaven and earth is the same God in redemption that will create in us a clean heart. I need you to know that I have the power to clean your heart up and your life. I don't care how bad you are. I'm so glad that we serve a God that has a resume that says I can create something out of nothing. That means I can do something with your sinful heart. And the church ought to say amen. I don't know about you, but I'm glad to know that God's power is so creative and so powerful that there's not one problem that you will ever have that God cannot fix. There's no circumstance you will ever run into that God cannot resolve. There's no obstacle in your life that God cannot give you power to overcome. That's why when we come to the Word of God and he said he created everything, he wants you to know that I am so powerful. Look at how I did it. He made day, he made light, he made darkness and light. Then he made land and water. But then he made vegetation. But then before he made the sun, moon, and stars on the first day, you know the story, he made vegetations on the third day, which says before I even need photosynthesis, I'm photosynthesis all by myself. I'm God and there's no other, and therefore I can do what I do because I am God. And I've given you this resume to remind you and let you know that in life situation that I always can make a way out of no way. Even when you cannot see your way out, even when you don't understand how it's going to happen, God says you've got to remember that I can create it even if you don't have it. I can create it when you don't even know how it's going to happen. And therefore, he says, please don't forget me. And this is a quote here. If man had always kept the Sabbath of the fourth commandment, there never would have been an atheist or an infidel in the world. Never. Everybody would know who God is. If the Sabbath had always been kept through the fourth commandment, the attention of men is called to the power of the infinite hand that placed the stars in the firmament. Can you imagine 93 million miles away? your creator, your God, placed this ball of fire 10,000 degrees Fahrenheit right there, and then he had planets revolving around it, but he made it fixed right there, and he didn't do anything but breathe his breath. And the Lord says, let there be. That's all he did. He didn't get no architect. He didn't need a plan. He didn't need any writing. All he needed was a voice of God. And that's why if God speaks, he creates a reality, or he confirms a reality. There's power in the word of God. God can speak to your situation right now. God can speak to your circumstances right now. I don't care what it is. I know from man's perspective, it seems like it's impossible. But what's impossible with man is possible for your God. Is there something you're dealing with in your life right now? As our faces differ, so do our trials, our circumstances, our situations, even living in the context that we're living in right now. I don't know about you, but I'm asking God, looking at the social, looking at the political, looking at all this landscape of stuff that's happening in the world, where are you, God? But I'm reminded, God says, I am a God. I'm in control. I sit high, but I look low, and I'm going to handle it all by and by. All I need you to do is stand still and watch the salvation of God. God gonna fix it, y'all. It ain't always gonna be like this. Trouble don't last always. Trials given in the school of Christ to purify us. Yes, we're going through something. Yes, I'm experiencing trials. Yes, I'm experiencing heartache, but it's not going to last. And God is reminding us that if you keep me in your heart, I can fix your problem. See, the problem is God need to be in our lives because we cannot handle our lives without him. The word says there was a way that seemed right unto a man, but the end thereof is death. And if we were to testify right now about how many dumb decisions we made outside the will of God, we would be here all night. I don't know about you, but you couldn't tell it all. How many times we thought we knew more than God, or we figured out we could fix it, or we could think we can do it. But God says, trust in me. Learn to lean on me. You know, without God, we cannot make it in this life. The Bible says, Jeremiah, the heart is deceitful above everything and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I mean, have you ever thought about some of the things you've done and you said to yourself, why did I do that? I thought I'd learned by now. I mean, I look at the stories of the Bible and I see what God has done for others, but yet and still I keep falling in the same ditch, going through the same problem, experiencing the same situation. Have you ever promised I'm never going to do that again and find yourself going right back again, wondering, God, how could I do something like that? It's because the Bible says the heart is carnal. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We are a living mess. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to offend you. I am a living mess. Oh yeah, I'm my worst enemy. And if I'm not saved from the hell that's in me, I go to the hell that's in me. And all God is trying to do is separate me from my foolishness. But the word says foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child. But I believe some adults like me and you, no, just me, got some foolishness in us. And God is trying to get it away from us. You know, all of our lives, he's working, trying to separate us from stuff. And you heard me say it before. You know what hell is? Hell is God, the lover, who loves us so much, he gives up on the lovee, who's us, because it's best for the love relationship. The word says hell is a strange act. Hell is God giving us over to ourselves. And if you don't believe me, listen, I'm going to give you some Bible on it. Through the fourth commandment, the attention of men is called to the power of the infinite hand that placed the stars in the firmament. If they had obeyed this commandment, now get this, if they had obeyed this commandment, they would have worshiped God as they looked at the sun that rules the day and the moon which rules the night. If they had just looked up there and seen the blessings of what God made, and they could have said, wait a minute, somebody made that. Don't you know there's a gospel story even in the sun and the moon? When you find in Genesis, listen to what it says. God made two great lights. The greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. And the word says in some translation, he made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule darkness. You hear that? Oh, you missed it. Okay, there's a shout there. It's going to come. In other words, he made two great lights. He made the sun, and then he made the moon. And then he said the moon is the lesser light, and the lesser light is to rule the darkness. In Genesis, right there, the gospel is preached how we should live our lives. In other words, the sun is not only that S-U-N that we see burning in the sky, but he said, I made two great lights, and the lesser light, which is us, made lower than the angels in the image of God. If the moon could testify, you know what the moon would tell us? I don't have the ability to shine on my own, but I have enough good sense to line my life up with the sun. Oh, you missed that. In other words, the sun says, I don't have any propensities or any ability on my own to shine, but I do know this. If I can place myself in proximity where the sun is, I will be able to reflect the light that illuminates from the sun so that it shines off of me, it bounces off of me. And like John the Baptist, you may think I'm the light because I look so bright, but I'm not the light. Even though I look like the light, I got to remind you that I'm not the light. I'm the lesser light. I'm not him. I'm not even worthy to untie his shoes. But see, the moon would tell you, I don't let anything. And the problem with us is that we let stuff get in the way of us and God. The truth of the matter is, as long as you're connected to God, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. If you're connected to God, no problem will ever come in your life that he cannot fix. If you have a connection with God and you are in view of God and you keep your mind stayed on him, he'll keep you in perfect peace, a peace that passeth understanding. But what is my problem? Somehow I want to blame everybody else but me. Maybe I lost my view of God. Maybe I'm not lined up in proximity where God's light can reflect off my life. Because when the light reflects off of me, notice what it says again. Two great lights, the lesser light to rule darkness. And the lesser light can rule darkness. Why? It's lined up with the sun. In other words, are you ruling your darkness today? See, my question is, are you ruling your circumstances or are they ruling you? You know, people say, well, you know what, I'm doing all right under these circumstances. Well, we have to ask a child of God, how did you get under there? You have a God that's greater in you than he that's in the world. He promised never to leave you. He promised that he has all power. He says, I'm available. So how do we place ourselves under circumstances? It's because when we are not lined up with God, and as long as we don't have a view of God, our concept, our understanding is always going to be wrong. It's not in us to order our steps. We don't have the capacity or the ability to walk right. We don't have the ability to live right. We don't have it. I know we might have social norms and there's certain things we may not do, not because of fear of God, but because of fear maybe of going to jail or fear of getting in trouble or fear of getting caught. But the reality is, once we have the fear of God, that's the beginning of knowledge. And the word says, if we had just simply kept obeying God, we would not be in the circumstance or the situation that we're in right now. And see, the problem is this. We can't sin until we do something first before we sin. Let me say that this way. It's not what you do, it's what you do before you do what you do that get us in trouble. I'm going to make it plain. You say, wait a minute, man, you got me twisted up. In other words, it's not really what you do, your behavior, your action, your outward objective thing that you do is a result of something you did before you did what you did. So break it down, preacher. Okay. In other words, before I ever start acting a fool based on knowing what God says, I have to say, God, I don't believe you. I'm going to do what I want to do, and then I do what I do. Let me say it again. My action is a manifestation of what I believe. If I believe the stove is hot, I'm not touching it. If I believe what goes up comes down, I'm not getting close to the edge of a cliff. If I believe you reap what you sow, then I'm not going to sow certain things. If I believe what goes up comes down, I'm not throwing up bricks. You know, some people keep on throwing up bricks. If I believe what goes up comes down, why am I still throwing up bricks? I ought to throw up feathers. Therefore, my belief, what am I believing? I've got to disconnect from God before I do what I do. You know what? Eve had to undermine God's word first. Because what did she say? The Lord said, thou shalt not touch it. And she had a conversation about what God said. Anytime we're placed in a situation where we begin to undermine, thus saith the Lord, we already in trouble. Because without faith, it's impossible to please him. He that come to God must believe that God is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So notice here, it says, if they had obeyed his commandments, if they had worshiped him, if they had understood that this God that made the sun and the moon and gave a lesson in that everything in nature, the tints and coloring that he has given to every opening bud and every blooming flower, the lofty tree, the grass that clothes the earth in its green mantle would have spoken to the soul. You know, you can go outside right now and the Bible says, even looking at nature, there is a story to be told. The Bible says, all things look to thee, and thou giveth them their meat in due season, and he satisfied the needs of every living creature. Don't you know right now, nature itself could tell you, we can't be blessed unless we look to God. The flower would tell you, I can't bloom unless God shows up. The grass will tell you, I can't grow unless God shows up. And therefore, as human beings, as Homo sapiens, created in the image of God, with this brain in our bodies, this cerebral cortex, this brain ought to function in a way that says, I'm going to trust God. But don't you know, sin will make you stupid? Oh, yes, it will. Sin will make you crazy. Sin will make you downright foolish. In fact, the Bible says it this way. Sin makes you run when nobody's chasing you. Sin will do a job on us. However, this is what God is saying to us. I need you to remember me, and I'm going to tell you why I left this remembrance in place. He says here, she says, the pen of inspiration quotes by saying, he blessed man and he gave the Sabbath to him to be observed as a memorial of his creative power. So the Sabbath is not just a day I keep. The Sabbath is a day to remind me of God's creative power. It's a memorial. It's like a sign. It tells me, you want to know how much I love you? I'm not going to allow you to walk away from me without a fight. I'm not going to allow you to go to hell without a stop sign. I'm not going to allow you to cross this bridge without a detour. I love you so much that I'm going to put something in place that no matter how fast you think you can run or no matter how far you think you can go, I'm going to put something in your life that will constantly remind you that I'm God and I don't want you to forget me because I love you so much that I hung on a cross called Calvary and I want you to know that I'm coming back for a people that have made a covenant with me by sacrifice. And to help you, I'm going to give you some cliff notes. I like cliff notes. You know, it's nothing like getting ready for an exam by having a pop quiz. I like a teacher. I had a teacher at Oakwood that would give us a quiz. And I didn't like the quiz at first, but I started liking them because on every quiz, it prepared us for the exam at the end of that quarter. It was almost like a constant reminder of what was to come. It was something preparing us. And God says, I love you so much, I'm going to give you a practice run on how you need to be ready for the second coming. You can't do anything about the seventh day. I don't care where you are. If you're in the store, you can't hold the sun. You can't keep the sun up. You know how you try to get that last minute, you know, run into the store and get what you need. And you say, oh, the sun about to set. And you want to rush out of there. And you try to say, wait a minute, hold the Sabbath back. Or there's some things you got to do before the Sabbath. Have you ever watched something earlier on, you know, well, I'm going to confess. Okay. Yeah, have you ever watching TV and you got, you know, your favorite program is on and you know the sunset is coming? And you almost want to say, can I just hold the sun back just a Lord? I know you can record it, but there's nothing like knowing. If you ever watch, you don't want to watch it later because you know you're going to find out the score. And when you find out the score, it's not even worth watching it. And so you're praying, Lord, can you just, you almost pray the prayer like Joshua, hold the sun up. you want to hold it back because you're not ready. But see, one thing about the Sabbath, it comes whether you're ready or not. And you just got to get ready every week. In other words, this is the day the Lord has made. Today is the Sabbath, but we know tomorrow is the first day of the week because they tell me he rose early on the first day of the week. Nobody has lost time. I know when the Sabbath comes. Every sixth day, we know that it's coming right around the corner. And so therefore, time has not been lost. And God wants to remind us every Sabbath who I am and that I'm coming back. And I want you to learn how to prepare for the second coming. Because see, if you wait till the last minute, character cannot be produced in the last moment. You cannot develop mature character where you trust God in a moment. You've got to go through a lifetime. It's called sanctification. You and I have got to learn how to trust God when we can't trace him. I've got to learn how to trust God when I'm going through circumstances with my back against the wall and I don't know how I'm going to get out. I've got to learn to look to him and trust him when I don't feel like trusting him. Trust him when everything is against me. And God says, what I'm going to do, I'm going to give you something that will help you prepare so that you'll be ready when I come. So the Sabbath acts as a memorial because Christ said, I want you to remember me. And there's a thing that comes. Notice the man, the Bible says this. Now, why is it that when you think about the controversy and you think about the trouble we're in with Project 25 and a host of other things, when people are looking at the times and the Bible said they will think to change times and laws. In fact, why is the Sabbath such an argumentative thing? Why is it a pain in some people's neck? Why is it a problem? Well, notice here. The man of sin, it is declared in Daniel, in the last days, he shall think to change times and laws. And it is not the very work done. Is this not the very work done? Is he not seeking to change times and laws? In other words, the reason why the devil wants to take our attention away from this day that is a day that helps us remember who God is, because God, he doesn't want you to remember who he is. He doesn't want you to know God because he knows that once you come to know God, as it is your privilege to know God, your life will be a life of obedience. He knows when you get a knowledge of who he is and understand who you are and understand the purpose of your life, it changes. See, the problem is not about how bad we are, because the Bible says it this way, and I love to read it for you in John chapter 3, very, very, very familiar text of scripture. Listen to how it reads. In John chapter 3, it says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believed in him should not what? Perish. But have what, everybody? Have everlasting life. And that's what it says. But notice verse 17. For God did not send his son into the world to do what? Condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. So in other words, God is on a mission of salvation. God is on a mission of redemption. It says in verse 18, he who believes, listen to this text right here. He who believes in him is not what? Condemned. Now, the question right now with all of us in here is this. Do you believe or you don't believe? That's what it boils down to. Do you believe that Christ came into the world to save you from your sins? Do you believe that Christ died on Calvary and that if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart, you shall be saved? The Bible simply says he who believes in him is not condemned. You haven't done anything, just believe. That's all you did. You're not living under condemnation if you just simply believe. You say, well, that's too easy. Well, that's what God did. That's why in Romans chapter 4, Abraham believed God and was justified because of his belief. So how is a person made right with God? Just believing. The question today is, do you believe? If you believe, you're not under condemnation. But he who does not believe is condemned already. Are you hearing what the Bible says, brothers and sisters? Verse 18 says, if you don't believe, you're already under condemnation. So I don't really have an option whether I believe or I don't believe. And if I believe, I'm not condemned. But if I don't believe, I'm condemned already. Why? Because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And I love verse 19 because it explains to me why anybody will be lost. It won't be lost because you had some hideous sins or had some big problem that could not be resolved. No matter what the issue is, whether hereditary or cultivated, God has power to help us overcome. Because I don't know about you, but there's some things that I'm challenged with in my life, and I wonder, Lord, will I ever get the victory? But the reality is this, I have no option. I've got to keep believing. I got to keep walking by faith. And the Bible says it this way, the just shall live by faith. And the word says the path of the just shines more and more and more and more. And you've got to keep taking steps of belief. But the condemnation is this, light came. Light came. I've got to praise God right now that light came. A way out came. You're not stuck. You just stayed too long. The door opened. A way was made. In other words, we've got to confess right now before he even we confess later that Jesus is Lord. That's why one day when he comes back, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess. Why? God is fair. God is just. God is loving. God is kind. Why? He made a way out of no way. He didn't have to do it. He didn't have to die on Calvary. He could have started over. He could have let us live and die in our sins. But I'm so glad light came. The word says light came. And condemnation is not because I was born in sin. Condemnation is not because I was born with evil things in my heart. In fact, condemnation is not even because I'm practicing sin. Condemnation is there because I won't accept the light of God's word. I won't accept Jesus. I won't open my mind to the Holy Ghost to renovate in me a clean heart. In other words, condemnation is because men love darkness rather than light. And I've got to let go today. I've got to ask God, is there anything in my life right now that I'm holding on to that will not give me that peace? Is there anything in my life right now that I'm holding on to that won't give me joy? Because they would not let go. The Bible says the condemnation is light came. Well, how do you know that? Well, notice what happens. And I'm almost finished. Romans tells us what happens when you do forget God. You know the text. You're very familiar with it. But brothers and sisters, today, I just want to remind you why God says, don't forget me. It's because it's important. Notice what he says in Romans chapter 1. You have your Bibles. I know we're Bible-believing people. But notice what the Word of God says in Romans chapter 1. This is why God did us one of the greatest favors by giving us a day to remind us who he is so that we would never forget him. Because the side effect... Notice what it says in Romans. I'm going to read it. Romans chapter 1. They may put it on the screen. Or not. Romans chapter 1. And notice verse 24. Therefore, verse 24. In fact, I want to read more than that. I got a little time, and I'm almost finished. Romans chapter 1. I want you to notice. Romans chapter 1. It says in verse 16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Why? It is the power of God to salvation. It's the power of God to salvation. How many of us need to be saved? I don't know about you, but I think I'm on that list. I need salvation. I need redemption. I need to be salvaged from myself. I need to be delivered from myself. And the Word of God says, I am not ashamed. Paul says, for it is the power of God to salvation. To everyone who what? Believes. To everyone who believes. Romans 1:16. Now notice what it says. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. Because what may be known of God, now notice what it says, what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. So in other words, there is possibility. When people say, only I wish God would make himself known to me. I wish God would reveal himself to me. I want to tell you right now, God has already made himself known to you. The Bible says this, he manifested it in them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made. So we should have a reality of God based on what God has already made. Even his eternal power and Godhead so that they are without excuse. So what happens? Because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were they thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. How did they become foolish? How did they become darkened? Number one, they didn't want to acknowledge God. They didn't want to remain, they didn't want to retain God. They did not want to think about God. And then they weren't grateful. I mean, think about it. I know it's bad. I know you got stuff going on in your life, but I can tell God been good to you by looking at you. Why? Because you're breathing in and you're breathing out and you're alive. I can tell you got your right mind because you walked in here, you didn't fall over, and I'm so glad there's enough fluid in your eardrums to keep you from losing your balance. I'm so glad that your blood is not poisoned so that you don't die off the toxicity of your own doing. I'm so glad that we're able to sit here and see all the different tints and colors that He's given us in our eyes and then hear the decimal of sound from our ears. You can't do anything but say there's got to be a God and He must be real. However, the problem is this. The devil wants to divorce you of the knowledge of God so that you will self-destruct on your own. Notice what it says, verse 24. Therefore, God also gave them up. You know what? We may get what we want, but God says, I'm going to let you have it. And when you get what you want, you lost what you had. I'm going to give them up. See, that's what God does. See, everything God is trying to do in our lives, I'm convinced, is salvage, save us. But we're fighting God. We're kicking against the prick. And notice what happens. He said, I'm going to just give you up. And when God gives us up to uncleanness in the lust of their hearts to dishonor their bodies among themselves, who exchange the truth of God for the lie and worship and serve the creature rather than the creator who is blessed forever. So why did he give us a Sabbath? Why did he say, remember me? For this reason, God gave them up to vile passion. So when God steps away from me and I'm left unchecked to myself, I go to the hell now that's residing in my own soul. So God acts as a detour to say, look, I'm trying to save you from yourself. You're your worst enemy. In fact, the devil didn't make you do it. He might have power, but he doesn't have all power. He may be a lunatic. He may be a liar. He may be a loser, but he can't force you to do anything. And the devil tells us, you know what? If you would just do your business, and mind your own, I could never do anything to you. The Bible says it this way, brothers and sisters. Let no man say when he's tempted, I'm tempted of God. God tempts no man with evil. Every man is tempted when he's drawn away with his own stuff. So you know what God is trying to do in Romans chapter 1? He's trying to enlighten us that you need me. Likewise also, and this is how bad it gets, verse 27, because God gave them up, likewise also men leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their hearts for one another, men with men committing what is shameful and receiving in themselves the penalty of their error, which it was due. And notice verse 29, and even though they did not like to retain God in their knowledge. You know why why God gave us the Sabbath? To help us retain him in our knowledge. See, it's not just another day. It's not just an argument to have about which day to worship on. No, God is saying, I love you so much, I want to give you a reminder every week to let you know that if you forget me, what happens is when you don't want to retain me in your mind, what happens, you drift away from knowing me and you're going to drift into darkness. Because in me, light is unborrowed. I have life. I have power. And if you drift from me, there's nothing else that can sustain you. There's no alternatives. I wish sometimes, you know, in your own mind, you say, well, look, I'm tired of this great controversy. I'm tired of the devil. And I really am afraid of trying to serve God. Can I just be put on a planet and just live my own life? Well, there's no life without God. The bottom line is you need God. Notice what happens as a result without God. If God walked away, what we would be in. The Bible says it this way. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, it's in the scripture, verse 28, God gave them over to a debased mind to do those things which are not fitting, being filled with unrighteousness. And you know what the problem is when you read all of this and you get to verse 32? This is where I know I need God because it says, who knowing the righteous judgment of God that those who practice such things, it says, are deserving of death. But then the rest of the verse says, not only do the same, but also approve of those who practice them. In other words, when we can laugh at stuff that we should be praying about, Lord, help me. I'm approving of stuff. When, see, this world is so contaminated if we don't keep God in our thoughts, we will drift to the evil that's in this world. And God says, I don't want you to drift. So you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to put a day there that will help you constantly remember who I am, so that no matter what you're going through, you can always call on me and understand that I am God. See, in other words, the God of the universe says, number one, I want you to understand the origin of the Sabbath. The Sabbath did not begin at Mount Sinai. It began at creation. Long before the law was written on tablets, it was written in the very rhythm of time. God created for 6 days, then he stopped, not because he was tired, but to enjoy, bless, and sanctify that day. In other words, God didn't bless a mountain or a city first. He blessed a day. That means time is sacred. The seventh day is holy, not just any day we choose. I just can't pick any day. In other words, you pick another day, you use that as a counterfeit, as your reminder of who God is. It takes you away from the creator of the universe with his creative power. Not only does it help us to understand who created the world, the creation of the world, the origin of the Sabbath, a creation blessing, but number two, the purpose of the Sabbath. It was a covenant of rest. Exodus 20 verse 8 says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it, to keep it. In other words, I can't make it holy. I've got to keep it holy. The word remember, why? Because God knew we would be tempted to forget in the business of life. So you could be so busy. Think about it. If we didn't have a day where we would pause, we would work ourselves to death. We would try to make a living and never have a life. We would never slow down. We would never stop. But as much as we know, every time we come to that, we bump right into that seventh day to say, hold up. Stop what you're doing. You're more than a meteor to go streaking across the sky. You're more than just protoplasm. You're more than just an organism. You were created in the image of God. And I want you to know I'm coming back for you one day. And I want you to be ready. So I'm giving you a reminder on a constant, not just every other. No, every seventh day, I want you to remind you of who I am. And I want you to pause from your labor. Stop. Meditate. Get your mind together. The Sabbath is like a painting. You step back and look at it and you reflect. How is it going with my life? How is it going with my existence? So I ought to rest on the seventh day. Then a reflection, a day to look back at what God has done. And then relationship, a time to reconnect with God and others. That's what it's for, reconnection. You know what God gave us the Sabbath? He said, now I'm going to let you create fellowship on the day. I'm going to let you create friendship on the day. I'm going to give you this day so that you can pause and not forget who I am. And the Sabbath is not a burden. It's a burden. It's a blessing in a world of addicted to productivity and speed. God calls us to stop. Remember, we are not machines. We are his children. And lastly, the invitation of the Sabbath is a foretaste of heaven. The Sabbath is not just about one day. It points us forward to eternity. One day, Hebrew 4, verse 9 and 10 says, therefore, there remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God. Every Sabbath is a miniature taste of heaven, a weekly reminder that one day all our striving will cease. One day, no more sickness. One day, no more heartache. One day, no more deadlines. No more stress. Just perfect communion with the Creator God. No more problems. And while many have replaced or forgotten the seventh-day Bible, consistently honors it. In fact, Luke 4:16 says, Jesus kept the Sabbath. Acts chapter 17, verse 2 says the disciples observed it even after the resurrection. And Isaiah 66 says, even in the new earth, the redeemed will keep it. And I'm told in the spirit of prophecy, as we go back to glory, we're going to take 7 days. But on the seventh day, we're going to pause and worship the Creator God. In fact, while we're going up higher and higher, we're going to pull off. It's like on a road trip. We're going to pull over and keep the Sabbath day before we even get the glory, according to the pen of inspiration. The seventh day Sabbath is not legalism. It is liberty. It is not a weight, it's witness that we trust in God's provision and not just our own effort. It is a sign, according to Ezekiel 20:20, a sign that we are his people. It is a sanctuary in time, a command wrapped in love. So I tell you today, not just to observe the Sabbath, but delight in it. Thank God for it. Remember that he gave it as a gift to say, please don't forget me. Please don't let me come. In other words, keep me in your mind. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. And there's another place where he says, remember your creator in the days of your youth before your evil days draw nigh and you have no pleasure in them. God is saying, don't forget. Keep me in your mind. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Understand that I'm coming back for a people who made a covenant, a sacrifice. So the Sabbath is not just any old day. It's not just another day. It's a perpetual reminder of how much God loves you and me. And there's nothing you can do about it but accept it, because he says, come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy lay, I'll give you rest. Are you tired? Are you burdened? Are you carrying something you can't handle? Cast all your cares upon me because I care for you. Jesus says, I love you with an everlasting love. And I've graven you on the palms of my hands. How can I forget you? I can't forget you. In other words, you mean so much to me that I was willing to stop living. I went into a tomb, and even if it meant not coming out, I would have died the second death. The death you die now is temporary. The death you die now is a consequence of sin. But one day, when I come back, the dead in Christ going to rise up first, and we which remain going to be caught up to meet them in the air. In other words, the voice of God and the trump of God and that loud trumpet will sound, and those of us who have died in the Lord will come up out of those graves, and then we're going to put on immortality, and this corruptible going to put on incorruption. So death right now is temporary, but the second death, the death where you don't come back, that death where there's no second chance. Christ, the creator, the sustainer, who gave his life on Calvary, this blows my mind. He was willing to stop existing so that something that he just made fresh off the press. Earth is about 6,000 years old as it ages. Adam was born, for instance, about 6,000 years ago. He lived through eternity. Never had a beginning. Never will have an end. Decided to make man. Gave him a plush planet. Created him in his image. Then he dies for him and says, I'm willing to stop living so that he can keep on living. That's a promise to each one of us. That's how much you mean to him. He says, I can never forget you. And all I'm asking you, please, don't forget me. Don't forget me. I want you to remember me. And I'm going to help you. And I'm going to place a day in time that will be a constant reminder of my love for you. That I want you to keep me forever in your heart. Father God, today, thank you for the reminder. As unworthy as we are and as undone as we are, Lord, we don't have to argue about this day. It's a day of liberation, a day of freedom, a day of rest. You gave it to humanity. You said the Sabbath was made for man and not man for the Sabbath. You gave it as a delight. If we would turn our way from our doing our own thing and just, we would find a delight in it if we put you first. Lord, we need rest today. My brothers and sisters, your children, in this place of worship and even online, we need rest, God. We're living in a world that's gone crazy, but you have not forgotten about us. And we know you have not forgotten about us because you have left tangible evidence. You have left clues. You have left things that remind us of your love. And one of them is the Sabbath. Time, a time to reflect, a time to say thank you, a time to bless you. Father, even as I pray in this prayer right now, there may be someone who has not yet accepted you as their personal Savior. I don't know. But Lord, while I'm praying this prayer right now, sending out an invitation for that individual who has not yet made their calling and election sure, and they don't know the God of the Sabbath, let alone the Sabbath and what it means. But Lord, whoever that person is, I'm praying right now, and as I'm praying and we're praying, if that there's such a one who want to say, yes, God, I need to give you my life. I need to accept you as my Savior. I need to walk in the newness of life. I'm just going to ask while we're praying this prayer. Just put your hand up. Put your hand up so I can see if there's anyone who needs to say yes to God today. I'm praying. Father, thank you. Thank you for your grace. You are so good. You're so kind. You're so loving. You're so merciful. And Father, we thank you. We just ask that you would not pass us by. We ask, Lord, that you would keep us in the hollow of your hands, and that one day when you come back, every person under the sound of my voice, online and in this church, will be ready one day to meet you in peace. Thank you for working on our hearts. Thank you for giving us an opportunity to know it's not over yet, and that you still want to save us before the doors of probation close. Father, we thank you for your Son, Jesus. We thank you for the Holy Spirit. We thank you for your word. And today, right now, we just want to thank you for another opportunity to say yes to you. Forgive us of our sins and shortcomings. Cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And help us never to forget who you are. This we ask in the name of Jesus. And all of God's people said amen and amen.